Lavalette has been revealed as the first site to be improved as part of the state's seafront enhancement programme. The area is one of six state-owned sites in Guernsey that have been identified as possible locations for development. Proposals submitted by the group Vive Lavalette have been chosen. Now they want to redevelop the kiosk, regenerate the bathing pool facilities and create a mixed-use performance space. Dave Waugh is driving the group Vive Lavalette. He's here alongside architect Dave Delamere and project manager Steve Sharp. Good morning, gentlemen. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Would we start, please, from the beginning? A very good place to start. Why do you think you were successful, Steve Sharman?
I think we were successful because we had the most innovative and creative project design, and we put a great group together that is a broad spectrum of the community with art, sport, with some finance experience, but also we have a great architect, and we also all believe that this is a wonderful site for the community of Guernsey, and I think we had the passion and desire to make sure that our project and our initiative was one that was chosen.
Okay, we'll meet the architect in just a mo, but first, Dave Waugh, to be clear, you were up against other projects competing for backing, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We had to submit our expression of interest by the 18th of December. Our understanding is that there were seven expressions of interest for this site, and we are absolutely delighted and very excited that we've been selected as the preferred party. And so now we enter a four-month period of exclusivity to negotiate the commercial terms and to start the design and planning process.
What does that mean? Why is it identified to 4 months?
Because there are some really important commercial aspects to this, because our intention is that this is going to be a not-for-profit. This is not a normal commercial project. It's not-for-profit. It's for the community. We want to involve the community. We want to make the finished product as inclusive as possible. And so it's really important that we get the right commercial terms. This is not a short-term project. This is a legacy project. It's there. It's going to be there, hopefully, forever. And so it's absolutely vital that we start from the right position in terms of our understanding and government's understanding.
And Dave Delamere, as the architect, I suppose you're on board with that. Can you give us some sort of timescale here?
Yeah, absolutely. The first 4 months is really just to give us enough time to engage with the community and what the wider brief's going to be, and then how we develop that into a tangible sort of proposal of a building of associated landscaping that we can sort of facilitate all of those uses.
Interesting. Steve, what are you actually going to do with it then? Give us an idea of what we might expect.
Well, I think, Oscar, the bathing pools themselves, that they speak already as being a beautiful venue for the whole of the island community. We see them being the start, the end, the middle of a journey between one end of town and maybe towards Fermain, offering a multi-use space for disguised physical activity, some mental health, arts in the community, culture. Really, we have some good ideas and have engaged with a number of groups already. But I think until you explore a little bit further and speak to as many people as possible, what you can actually do there is a little bit unknown.
Sure, and I'm just trying to get an idea of that, because regeneration of the bathing pools has already been carried out, hasn't it, by a voluntary group. Yeah. So what specifically do you want to do in terms of more work, building on that? You talk about mental health. Would you give us an example?
Well, an example of mental health is that somebody coming down and ensuring that area is enhanced, as Gavin St-Pierre said this morning, so that somebody can enjoy the view, the vista, but it's better than it is at the moment, in that it's more accessible for the whole of the community. At the moment, it's fairly inaccessible for those who may be physically challenged or disabled. So we're trying to open up that space to ensure that everybody can enjoy it, because I think at the moment, not everybody can.
From an architect's point of view, Dave Delamere, how do you look at it, step back and say, this is what we're going to do to make it more accessible?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it's a site that has so much potential, and I think we need to sort of release that potential and the opportunities that are available there. There is this sort of the mound, if you like, that sits behind the existing kiosk, and at the moment that kind of separates the kiosk from the road and actually from an access point of view. So I think we need to engage more with both sides of the site, but also allow a better sort of access to the bathing pools themselves.
With the mound, what, that might go, or you might do something else with it?
No, I think it will stay, but it's a space that can be used and be utilised, and whether that becomes a sort of a flexible space, we talk about this sort of performance space or exercise space or equally just viewing, but that there's a building that engages with that space as well as with the bathing pools.
Dave, well, very interested to hear that you might want to look at biodiversity. How are you going to do that?
Well, one of the parties who put in an expression of interest, that was very much part of their pitch, and we've already spoken to them. So we will, now that we've been publicly confirmed as the preferred bidder, we will reach out to parties like that. And it's also important, we've had prior discussion with the Friends of La Valette, who also put in an expression of interest, and basically the group of people that currently use the pool all the year round. And that's something that we will respect. So we will be engaging with them, with others, including the group that particularly have biodiversity at the heart of their proposal. And I think I just want to add one other thing. The cafe is going to be an integral part of the site, but the intention is it shouldn't dominate the site. So we're not looking at an upmarket restaurant here. We're looking at a cafe which offers quality, but we make much better use of the space which complements the cafe, and the cafe complements the way in which that extra space is being used.
Sorry, is that an additional site, an additional cafe, or are you going to work with the kiosk?
The kiosk will be going, Dave, won't it?
Essentially, yeah. It'll be a sort of a replacement to the kiosk.
Right. And will it be on that site?
Yes, we're looking at that. That is sort of the primary site that we're looking at. So
I see. Logistically, you have to knock it down, do you, and start again?
Partially, yeah. That's sort of what we're exploring, really, over the next 4 months. But it's likely that the kiosk building on the top sits above the changing rooms is of fairly poor quality. So we'll probably be removed and replaced with something more substantial.
And
but looking to retain the changing rooms, the base, the existing base.
Yeah.
And obviously looking to improve them. I mean, the changing rooms are actually in reasonably good condition because they've had some work done in recent years. But we need to look at that footprint. But it's the upper level where the cafe is at the moment, which is the much more interesting space, plus the space behind it, the man behind it.
And just on the kiosk itself, I imagine you've had these conversations with those at the kiosk. I was there the other day, wasn't open, but we heard Deputy St. Pierre this morning say that it is his intention to oversee, perhaps not directly manage, but oversee the potential for it to open this summer. Who have you spoken to involved in that side of things about what you want to do with the kiosk?
Catering.
Namely, knock it down and rebuild.
Well, from a catering point of view, we are engaged with a specialist. We haven't gone public on that yet, but we are very close to going public on that. And they will be working with us as a member of our group to help with the design work, because obviously we need to design the cafe so that it functions efficiently, but also on detailed things like the menu and what the offering should be down there. Because we won't try and be all things to all people. There will be an emphasis on health. And we're also we will try and make the offering we've got down there actually unique through a combination of the food, but also the vista.
Mm.
In terms of this year, I think it's important for us to say that that responsibility is government's. We have not agreed to run that cafe this year. We want to focus on the longer term and get on with the planning process. So that is government's responsibility.
And Steve, you mentioned Deputy St. Pierre this morning. Your relationship with the States of Guernsey is going to be key in this, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. From the start, when we were working with Damon Hackley and Doug Mackay, and we then submitted to the steering group. Yes, we have to have a clear partner within the States, and they have to be as excited and and as creative as we are, and be involved and understand that this is a legacy project. So yeah, we need them fully, absolutely fully on board, and we have no reservations in thinking that they will be with us.
Yeah, how's it going to be funded, your project?
I better answer that one.
Dave Walsh.
Well, it's going to be, ideally, it's going to be a social enterprise. But we've got the advantage that we've already got one committed substantial backer. And I don't want to quote a figure, but it is a substantial sum of money to allow us to progress through the next 4 months and to actually begin the development. But as our plans become clearer, it'll be my responsibility to network locally and try and find like-minded people, whether they're individuals, corporates, charitable trusts, whatever, to help us with the funding. But the ideal scenario is that the funding that we need will come from donations and grants, so that we start without any borrowings when we start opening, and that gives us the best possible chance of generating income from the site, which we will undertake to reinvest in the site and the adjoining area.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're very conscious that organisations like Floral Guernsey have already done a lot of really great work down there, and that we mustn't just look at our site in isolation. As Steve has already said, it links with town, and it's how we bring people on that journey.
All right. I just want to be clear in a moment, as a final thought from you, Dave, as an architect, about what sort of team you'd like on board. But first, maybe this is one for you, Steve. Pete's been in touch this morning while you've been speaking. He thinks it's really good news hearing about this morning's announcement. He wants to know if there's any more information about the proposed performance space.
There's no more information other than we're going to utilise the space, the footprint that we have, to ensure that as many groups inclusively can use that. Now, that's performance-wise, that can be anything from sunrise Pilates to people doing an art class to a play to people playing some music, whatever. The performance space it can be multi-use. And as far as that area is concerned, it'd be part of our concept and developed over time by the group and by Dave, our architect.
And there's potential for that?
Yeah, I believe so. It's about considering all the possible uses and all the possible users, and then sort of developing something that is the most flexible space possible that can adapt to suit the different needs.
Sure. It strikes me, and put me straight if this isn't right, but it does strike me this morning listening to all of these ideas and the emphasis of the word potential, that you in particular as an architect have got quite a job on your hands.
Yes, I mean it's been tough over the last few months because we've tried to be fairly restrained from a design perspective to get through the process and actually develop an overall idea that allows us to consider all the options and then use this period over the next 4 months to actually generate what the needs are, and then try and put that onto paper.
Okay, when do you think? excuse me. When do you think we might get a further update from you?
I think we have this 4 month exclusivity period. We're in the middle of May now. Towards the end of September, we'll have worked through and with Dave and with the group, we'd have worked through pre-planning and we'd be working with the states on that. So I think you're looking at towards the end of that 4 month exclusivity period is exactly what it's there for.
Oscar, if I can just add, we have got a Facebook page, website and Facebook page set up, but it's in it's a holding page at the moment. But one of the things we're going to do urgently is populate that. So we'll make some initial comments. We'll introduce each member of our team, of which there is now 8. And that will be a medium, social media will be a medium through which we're going to start engaging with the community. And we're particularly keen to engage with young people and to get their ideas and their energy, because this is a long-term project.
I do need to move on, but on that point specifically, always pricks up my ears when you say something like that. How logistically can you do that, engage with young people? How do you get them on board?
Okay, well, you've got, for example, the Youth Forum, and we've got a line in with various young people. We can't necessarily include everybody, but that's something we need to go away and think about and talk to our social media expert because what we've got to tread a fine line. We want ideas, but actually the reality is we can't accommodate everybody ideas, and certainly not at the outset. And we are going to phase this. So we want phase one completed by June 2021 in time for the Island Games.
Wow, ambitious. A point of clarity, Ross has been in touch listening to you this morning. He says it sounds like, and let's be clear on this, it sounds like the changing rooms are going to close, maybe even be demolished while any work goes on. Talking specifically about the kiosk and the earth bank, can you confirm whether that's the case, or are you going to avoid that?
We're going to try and avoid that. The idea is that the changing rooms will remain, albeit they'll be renovated, so there may be periods where that...
Periods where they're unavailable to use.
Where they're unavailable, but we're looking at, obviously we've got a lot still to look at. We're looking at sort of temporary facilities, so if there is a time when the kiosk is out of action because it has been demolished, that there is a temporary mobile unit to service the needs of the year-round users.
Okay, there's so much to get our heads around, but I really appreciate you coming in for this conversation this morning, gentlemen. Thank you. And Steve, a last word. Are you hopeful that you're going to get the community on board with this?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to move heaven and earth to get the community, and actually it's a community facility. It's nobody's in particular. Nobody owns it apart from the community of Guernsey. So if we don't, then we've failed.
Yeah, the 4 points I picked out then this morning: community engagement, not-for-profit, inclusive and respectful of the environment.